RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Nisma. First headline. Indonesia trusted in developing democratic and lawful state. President Joko Widodo inaugurated Palembang Indralaya toll road. Indonesian language as unifying agent in diversity. And now the news in detail. Many countries recognize Indonesia to successfully develop a democratic, constitutional, and lawful state. That was stated by Chairman of Indonesian Constitutional Court, Arief Hidayat, in a special interview with Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Wednesday, 11 of October. He views that recognition was received when he was representing Indonesia in various international forums.
Dan saya selaku Ketua Mahkamah Konstitusi sering diminta
as the chairman of Constitutional Court and the judges of our Constitutional Court had often been invited as speaker in various international forums on which they said that Indonesia had successfully developed a democratic, constitutional, and lawful state. It means that we receive appreciation from international level. Furthermore, the Constitutional Court Chairman Arief Hidayat said that besides being invited as speaker, another proof of the world's appreciation for Indonesia is that Indonesia had been chosen to lead the Association of ASEAN Constitutional Courts and Equivalent Institution, AACC, as well as to join the board in the World Congress on Constitutional Justice. He also remarked that Indonesia had been chosen due to the reputation of Indonesian Constitutional Court with support from Indonesian people in developing a democratic and lawful state. President Joko Widodo inaugurated the Palembang Indralaya Section 1 toll road linking Palembang Pamulutan on Thursday afternoon in Ogan Ilir District, Palembang, South Sumatra. In his speech, the president said that the construction of the 7.75-kilometer-long section of toll road requires special attention from the central government in view of the unfavorable condition of the land. Therefore, the project costs 1.5 times more than other toll roads. The president hopes that government-run development in various regions in Indonesia will be directly proportional to the improvement of local people's economy and the national economy.
Ini sekali lagi, baik tol di Jawa, baik tol di luar Jawa, ini...
The toll road in Jawa and outside Jawa will strengthen our foundation in the front of global competition. It means that our global competitiveness index would be better because the mobility of goods and people would be faster. The cost of transporting goods would be lower and the commodity prices would also decline. However, it takes time because they are not completed yet.
On the same occasion, South Sumatra Governor Alex Nurdin said that if the construction of a 3,000-kilometer toll road from Bakahuni in Lampung Province to Aceh Province could be completed by the central government, the people's economy, especially on the island of Sumatra, would make significant progress. This October is celebrated in Indonesia as Month of Language and Literature. Agency of Language Development and Fostering at the Ministry of Education and Culture of Indonesia, BPPB, has organized a series of events to promote the Indonesian language and literature. Head of the agency, Professor Dadan Sunandar, explained that the theme of Month of Language and Literature in this year is Develop Language and Literature, Strengthen Diversity. He said to Voice of Indonesia that the issue of diversity has become increasingly a problem. Therefore, he emphasized the importance of language as a unifying element of the nation.
Indonesia ini dari Sabang sampai Merauke disatukan.
Indonesia from Sabang to Merauke is united, unified by the same thing, namely Indonesian language. Therefore, it is appropriate if we say the Indonesian language is the language that we are proud of and it is the greatest element of this nation. That's why now we are addressing the theme, the Month of Language and Literature, this year.
Professor Dadan Sunandar further explained that Indonesian language and literature still face various challenges such as the intensive use of foreign languages in the public space and the endangered local languages. So far, the agency has conducted language diplomacy through the sending of Indonesian teachers as foreign speakers to 30 countries. He also explained that his agency has cooperated with the Embassy of Republic of Indonesia to conduct the Indonesian language proficiency test in 2018. Currently, there are 45 countries that teach Indonesian language. He views that based on the data, the Indonesian language will become an international language. This year's commemoration of the Month of Language and Literature has a series of events including language debate, literary awards, book review, and exhibition. Indonesia, Malaysia, and the Philippines launched trilateral air patrol operation in the Malaysian Air Force Base Subang, Selangor, Malaysia on Thursday, October 12. The joint patrol is a combat and prevention against IS terrorists to cross the borders of the three countries. The Malaysian Defense Minister, Dato Sri Hishamuddin Tun Hussein, in his speech said that the terrorism in the Sulu Sea in the southern Philippines has become the threat for three countries. He said that the most concerning point is the use of the maritime domain of Sulu Sea by the terrorist organization as their operation base. He also said that the wide effect posed by the threat has made it clear that it should not be handled by a single country. This requires regional cooperation of several countries with one mission. Meanwhile, Indonesian Defense Minister Ria Mizard Ryakudu assured that the three-country air patrol will continue to be implemented as long as needed. He also explained that until now, there are three countries outside ASEAN that are eager to join in the same operation.
Apakah negara lain bisa ikut? Kalau untuk ASEAN tidak ada masalah.
Can other countries join? For ASEAN countries, there is no problem. But outside ASEAN, three countries have written letters. They are China's Defense Minister, U.S. Defense Secretary, and Australian Defense Minister to join the patrol. This should be coordinated in advance with ASEAN member countries. But the important thing is that we are able to overcome this because we must be confident with our own strength.
Trilateral air patrol is conducted monthly on which Malaysia will commence its first operation on November 2017, followed by the Philippines in December 2017, and then Indonesia in January 2018. The launching ceremony was also attended by the Philippine National Secretary of Defense, Delvin Lorenzo, the representative of the Defense Ministries of Brunei Darussalam and Singapore, Dato Sri Aziz and Dr. Maliki Osman, respectively. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Italian government has expressed admiration for the values of five principles. Pancasila as an ideal example of unifying the nation, as stated in a press statement from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Indonesia, received on Thursday, October 12. The values of Pancasila, which is the foundation of the life of Indonesian nation and state, can be an example of the process of integration in Italy. Therefore, the Italian government invited Indonesia to share the best practice through interfaith dialogue. Titled Pluralism and Integration in Indonesian and Italian Societies, Perspective, Opportunities, Challenges, at the Italian Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Rome, Italy, on Wednesday. Director General of Information and Public Diplomacy of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Cecep Herawan, noted that Indonesia and Italy share a common understanding on the importance of promoting interfaith dialogue in the midst of intensified terrorism, extremists, and radicalism issues. PT Sinar Mas Agribusiness and Food has signed a Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, with Kanaan Enterprise Company Ltd. to boost shipment of derivative product of crude palm oil, or CPO, to Thailand. The Memorandum of Understanding was sealed during the 32nd Trade Expo Indonesia at International Convention Center, or ICE, BSD City, Tangerang, Banten, on Thursday, witnessed by Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tiasto Lukita, Indonesian Ambassador to Thailand Ahmad Rusdi, and Sinar Mas Managing Director Saleh Hussein. Under the Memorandum of Understanding, Kanaan is appointed to be Sinar Mas sole agent with exclusive rights to distribute and resell margarine, shortening and lauric acid manufactured by the Indonesian conglomerate for Thailand market. Sinar Mas Agribusiness and Food Director Gianto Wijaya in a press statement stated that the agreement is founded on the partnership between Sinar Mas Agribusiness and Food and Kanaan that has been forged since 2013. The 15th anniversary of the first Bali bombings by terrorists was commemorated in Bali on Thursday, marked by the launch of the book Luka Bom Bali, or Wounds of Bali Bombings. Bali Governor Made Mangkupastika stated in Badung, Bali on Thursday that people should not have no grudge against anyone in order to create peace and let pray for the victims of the bombings. The book launched to mark the anniversary of first bombing tragedy in Bali 15 years ago. This book the real stories of the victims of the bombings. He noted that the commemoration of the tragedy was not aimed at recalling the incident, which caused deep wounds for Bali and the world, but reminding the people to prevent the recurrence of such incident in future. He also remarked that the important thing is to wipe out the grudge in order to create peace. And to end the news, here are the main points once again. Indonesia trusted in developing democratic and lawful state. President Joko Widodo inaugurate Palembang Indralaya Toll Road. Indonesian language as unifying agent in diversity. And that was the news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello, listener. Our commentary today entitled, Will Halimah Yacob be able to realize her promises to build Singapore better? Singapore is expected to be a comfortable home for everyone. This statement was uttered by Halimah Yacob, the new president of Singapore, and she started her duties on Thursday, September 15, 2017. The statement is quite interesting to note because it was exposed by Halimah Yacob. She is from the Malay ethnic, which becomes Singapore's fewer citizens compared to other citizens who come from ethnic Chinese. The election of Halimah Yacob is now being the attention of the international community for 2 points. Firstly, Halimah Yacob is the first Singaporean woman president, and secondly, she is also the first Muslim president in Singapore. While campaigning before thousands of supporters, Halimah Yacob, who was born in 1954, insisted that she is a president for everyone, regardless of race, language, religion, or belief. The Malay ethnic politician who becomes the 8th president of Singapore has promised to devote all her attention and duty to make Singapore much better. At least, the election of Halimah Yacob as Singapore's president has enhanced the image of Singapore as a multi-ethnic country and has made room for minorities to become state leader. It must be remembered that the government control holder is the Prime Minister of Singapore, held by the majority ethnic element. The question is that whether Halimah Yacob, whoever became Speaker of Parliament from January 2013 to August 2017, will realize her commitment and promised. The answer to this question will surely come with the implementation of her presidential duties. At least Halimah Yacob gains the support of Singaporean people. The people are optimistic that Halimah can make people's lives better. During her membership in the parliament, the people of Singapore have seen Halimah Yacob's serious concern for the small people and other poor people. Her concern arose because she will suffer as the poor did. When Halimah was 8 years old, her father, whose job was a guard, passed away. To survive for her mother's household, she earned a living by selling padang rice. Halimah, when she was a kid, helped her mother work and often fell asleep in class because of being exhausted. The poverty that she experienced was an inspiration and encouragement of light, and the God has led and made her at the age of 63 years be the 8th president of Singapore, and she is the first Muslim woman to become president of Singapore. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from October 13, 1946, where France adopted the Fourth Republican Constitution. The Fourth Republic is a period between 1946 to 1958 in French, where the country was led by the Republic regime with the Fourth French Republic Constitution. The Fourth Republic was the awakened republic from the Third French Republic, which occurred before World War II. During that period, France faced the same difficulties, such as the shortness of government that made policy planning difficult. France adopted the Constitution of the Fourth Republic on October 13, 1946. Next event, which occurred on October 13, 1923, when Ankara replaced Istanbul as the capital city. Ankara, formerly known as Ankara and Angora, is the capital of the Republic of Turkey. Ankara was Atatürk's headquarters from 1920s and has been the capital of the Republic since its founding in 1923, replacing Istanbul following the fall of the Ottoman Empire. The government is a prominent employer, but Ankara is also an important commercial and industrial city located at the center of Turkey's road and railway networks. Although situated in one of the driest places of Turkey and surrounded mostly by steep vegetation except for the forested areas on the southern periphery, Ankara can be considered as a green city in terms of green areas per inhabitant at 72 square meters per head. The next event is about the International Day for Disaster Reductions, where the International Day for Disaster Reductions encourages every citizen and government to take part in building more disaster-resilient communities and nations. The United Nations General Assembly designated October 13 as the International Day for Natural Disaster Reduction as part of its proclamation of the International Decade for Natural Disaster Reduction. In 2002, by a further resolution, the General Assembly decided to maintain the annual observance as a vehicle to promote a global culture of natural disaster reduction, including prevention, mitigations, and preparedness. In 2009, the UN General Assembly decided to designate October 13 as the official date and also changed the name to International Day for Disaster Reduction. We conclude today's In History with an event which occurred on October 13, 1977, where four Palestinians hijacked Lufthansa Airlines. Four Palestinians hijacked a plane belonging to the German airline Lufthansa on October 13, 1977. They demanded the release of 11 Bader-Meinhof terrorist prisoners, or better known as the Red Army faction. The leftist group has been terrorizing Germany for 30 years. The group has killed more than 30 people from business, military, and government. The purpose of the murder is to overthrow capitalism in Palestine. The hijackers took the plane around the air and at least crossed six countries. Finally, the plane landed in Mogadishu City, Somalia, after the hijackers shot a pilot. German special forces immediately surrounded the plane upon arrival at Somalia's airport. They released 86 hostages and killed three of the four hijackers. The prisoners of the Red Army faction who heard the news committed suicide in the prison of Stammheim, Germany. Listen up, that was Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus, entitled Indonesian President Opens Trade Expo Indonesia 2017. Indonesian President of Indonesia, Joko Widodo, officially opened the 32nd Trade Expo Indonesia 2017, held at Indonesia Convention Exhibitions ICE in Tangerang, Banten, Wednesday. The International Trade Fair is held from 11 to 15 October. President Joko Widodo, in his speech, said that the trade fair, such as 32nd Trade Expo Indonesia, is needed to encourage the increase of Indonesia's export value. President also said, the value of Indonesia's export from January to August reached $108.79 billion, or increased by 17.58% compared to the same period in 2016. Similarly, the value of non-oil and gas export as of January to August reached $98.76 billion, or increased to 17.73%. President Joko Widodo asserted, there are two keys of economic growth, namely export and investment, that must be rise. Without the two things, it is unlikely that Indonesia's growth will increase. The president asked the Indonesian embassy overseas to monitor the needs of other countries that could be met by Indonesian entrepreneurs. This is to give birth for new industries in Indonesia, which can actually add the country's employment. Trade Minister Enggartia Stolokita, on the same occasion, said, this year, the 32nd Trade Expo Indonesia is aimed to invite buyers from abroad. Because the government has a target to open new export markets by targeting 16 non-traditional countries as potential buyers of Indonesian products in the Trade Expo Indonesia. The countries including African countries, Eurasia, Central Asia, and South America. Therefore, the Ministry of Trade has conducted promotions and socializations abroad conducted by 132 representative offices of the Republic of Indonesia, the trade attaché, and head of Indonesia's Trade Promotion Center. Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita further said, at Trade Expo Indonesia 2017, the trade attaché and head of the ITPC overseas are assigned to invite foreign buyers to do business with Indonesian exporters. Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita said this year, Trade Expo Indonesia is able to bring potential buyers from several main countries, such as Nigeria, Saudi Arabia, India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh. This shows that Indonesia's efforts are beginning to show the result. The 32nd Trade Expo Indonesia this year is participated by 1,089 national companies. They exhibit a variety of Indonesia's superior products, such as furniture, handicrafts, food products, manufactured products, and heavy vehicle. Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita said that in this Trade Expo Indonesia event, the Ministry of Trade targeting a total of transaction in the exhibitions to reach $1.1 billion, or equivalent to 14.69 trillion rupiah, featuring more than 300 Indonesian products, which are divided into 7 zones of potential products and national leading products. The zones are, among others, furniture, furnishing, fashion, crafts and creative products, premium products, strategic industries, manufacturing products and services, food and beverages, and premium products. Listener, that was Focus. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Here is our news in brief. Many countries recognize Indonesia to successfully develop a democratic, constitutional, and lawful state. President Joko Widodo inaugurated the Palembang Indralaya Section 1 toll road linking Palembang Pamulutan on Thursday afternoon in Ogan Ilir District, Palembang, South Sumatra. This October is celebrated in Indonesia as Month of Language and Literature. Agency of Language Development and Fostering at the Ministry of Education and Culture of Indonesia, BPPB, has organized a series of events to promote the Indonesian language and literature. Indonesia, Malaysia, and the Philippines launched trilateral air patrol operation in the Malaysian Air Force Base Subang, Selangor, Malaysia on Thursday, October 12. Italian government has expressed admiration for the values of 5 principles, Pancasila, as an ideal example of unifying the nation, as stated in a press statement from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Indonesia, received on Thursday, October 12. PT Sinar Mas Agribusiness and Food has signed a Memorandum of Understanding with Kanaan Enterprise Company Ltd. To boost shipment of derivative product of crude palm oil CPO to Thailand. And the 15th anniversary of the first Bali bombings by terrorists was commemorated in Bali on Thursday, marked by the launch of the book Luka Bom Bali or Wounds of Bali Bombings. Bali Governor Made Mangkupastika stated in Badung, Bali on Thursday that people should not have no grudge against anyone in order to create peace and let pray for the victims of the bombings. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you a Japin dance from Pontianak, West Kalimantan. Stay tuned. listener, the 246th anniversary of Pontianak City, West Kalimantan, will be held on October 23rd. The event will be enlivened by 2,460 people who will be performing Jepin dance massively. The great event entitled Pontianak Berjepin will involve employees of government agencies and the communities. This Pontianak Berjepin activity is one of the efforts to promote Malay culture. Today's edition of the Indonesian Wonder will introduce you to the Jepin dance, one of the traditional Malay dances in Pontianak. Listener, Jepin dance was adapted from Malayan art, Islam religions, and local culture. The dance is one of the medias to spread Islam in West Kalimantan. Initially, the dance became the medium of propagations to spread Islam in the 13th century. According to some sources, this dance was originally performed in Sambas area, West Kalimantan, then spread and expand to various areas in West Kalimantan. Along with its development, this dance became a welcome and entertainment dance. Jepin dance has also developed and has a variety of new creation, such as Malayan Jepin dance, soft Jepin, fun Jepin, and talibui Jepin. Although the dancers have many new creation, some of them still do not leave the original group. Now, Jepin dance is often performed to welcome guests at weddings and cultural festivals. Listener, Jepin dance is played by male and female dancers. Its movement emphasizes to the movement of the feet and hands. In the show, the movement begins with an opening greeting. After that, the dancers perform a movement that rests on repetitive footwork. 2 feet of the dancers move back and forth and move around. The movement has several rules. The dancers is not allowed to widen the legs and raise the hands too high. During the show, the dancers wearing Malay traditional dress. The male dancers wearing long sleeves and trousers decorated with wrapping cloth or sarung at their waist. At the head, male dancers usually use headgear like black caps, while the female dancers wear long clothes which are usually decorated with ornaments like flowers. Jepin dance is accompanied by traditional Malay music such as gambus instrument, percussions, and marawis. In addition to accompanied by music, this dance is also accompanied by songs in the form of poem about daily life and the values of Islamic teachings. That was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Jepin Dance from West Kalimantan. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. We will meet you again tomorrow with another interesting topics.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. We'll meet again in Miscellany. Still Indonesia is an annual yacht rally tournament that departs from Darwin, Australia. This event is held in every July and is followed by a 3-month program related to tourism destinations throughout Indonesia. In this miscellany edition, we'll talk about Sabang SEAL, which becomes the peak of SEAL Indonesia 2017 activities. Listener, SEAL Indonesia 2017 will be held again. This activity starts from Darwin, Australia on Saturday, July 29, 2017. The participants of SEAL Indonesia will arrive in Sabang, Aceh Province on December 1 to December 7, 2017. This arrival is marked as the peak of the activity. As it is known, SEAL Indonesia 2017 is an international event that has been held since 2000. This activity is the World Skill Yacht Rally started from Darwin, Australia to some regions of Indonesia. The yachts will stop over in Bali, East Nusa Tenggara, Thousand Islands, and Batam before continuing their voyage to Singapore, Malaysia, and Thailand. The Deputy of Human Resources, Maritime Technology and Maritime Science at the Coordinating Ministry of Maritime Affairs, Safri Burhanuddin, said that SEAL Sabang 2017 gives the theme Sabang as the world gates of maritime destinations. Besides focusing on tourism development, SEAL Sabang will also be highlighted with various activities. The location of these activities will be focused on 4 points: Sabang Bay, Sabang Fair, Gapang Resort, and 0 kilometer point. Meanwhile, the peak of this event will take place in Pasiran, Sabang Bay. President Joko Widodo is scheduled to attend this peak of event. This location is also planned to function as a cargo port. This event will display various interesting activities such as yacht rally, seminar, science exhibition, Aceh Cultural Week, SEAL Sabang Parade, International Aerobics Show, Paras Bangan Championships, Wonderful Sabang Exhibition, Marine Exhibition, Sabang Underwater Photography Competition at Ipoh Beach and Capang, Free Dive Championship, fishing competition in Rondo Island surroundings, and many more. The participants can also take a city tour to Bandar Aceh, the capital of Aceh Province, and visit the Tsunami Museum. At the opening of SEAL Sabang 2017, a colossal dance of Laksamana Malahayati will be presented. For the closing ceremony, a traditional ceremony called Trun will be shown. SEAL Sabang 2017 is expected to be able to promote Sabang enchantment with various kinds of its maritime excellences. The success of SEAL Sabang 2017 will actualize Indonesian government's goal to make Sabang as an international maritime port hub, especially for western region of Indonesia. Well, listener, that was Miss Selene for today with the topic Sail Sabang 2017, the peak of Sail Indonesia 2017. We'll meet again next time with another interesting topic. See you later.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back in our regular program, Music Corner. In this program, we present a glimpse of the traditional and modern music development, as well as the career of Indonesian singers. For the 4th August 2017 edition, for you as a fan of Indonesian dangdut music, we will play dangdut songs. Starting this meeting, we listen to the song entitled Zakia from Mat Albar. Happy listening. Enjoyed the song Zakia from Ahmad Albar. Although Ahmad Albar is a legend of Indonesian rock music, In his career, he ever released dangdut songs. Through the song Zakia, Ahmad Albar shows his ability to bring dangdut songs. Not all singers can sing dangdut songs well, and Ahmad Albar proves with the nuances of rock music, dangdut songs can be sung well, evidenced by many fans of dangdut music that welcomes his presence. Listener, we listen to one of other songs from Ahmad Albar entitled Raja Kumbang. Listener, thank you for being with me, Dee, in Music Corner program, which is playing Dangdut Song from Ahmad Albar. Dangdut Song album released by Ahmad Albar in 1979 raises the pros and cons. rock music fans of Ahmad Albar feels disappointed with the presence of this dangdut album. But Ahmad Albar proved, without leaving the nuances of rock in dangdut songs, the vocal colors fit to bring dangdut song. After Ahmad Albar, there are several rock singers who then released dangdut songs. Listener, to end our music corner today, I'll play the song Red Rose or Mawar Merah. Thank you for our togetherness. See you later.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.